Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul Segretto live with Franchise Today Show. Joel, how are you? I got tied up in the Blog Talk Radio system, and it would not let me through.
Fantastic. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. I apologize for
good.
As always, Joel is here, my ever-loving co-host from the great city of Cleveland and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, rock and roll. I was going in Houston. I figured you had another storm or something, and
no,
that's why I didn't hear from you.
We have clear blue skies. We have warm 75, 78-degree weather today. And I'm just about over the flu, so I'm ready to kick some ass and take some names, Joel.
Cool, man. Cool. Well, it's quite chilly up north here. It's probably in the 30s with the wind chill. Leaves are blowing around, and it's Cleveland, Ohio, man.
Well, absolutely great. Joel, we have a lot to talk about today. I know we're going to talk about franchise marketing and addressing the changing mindset that's out there, both from a consumer standpoint and from a franchise candidate standpoint. Well, why don't you lead us down the road of what's going on in the franchise blog world so we can move on with the show?
Oh, absolutely. No problem. The first thing that I found over at alltop.com, the franchise session, was something actually about your neck of the woods, shall we say. And ever hear of Seattle's Best Coffee?
Yes, I have.
There is one that just opened. Let's see, it's a 196-square-foot kiosk, and it is at where the heck? I can't, the one Allen Center, First City Tower. Is that something there?
Yes, I believe that's downtown Houston.
By the Galleria?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, well, it's the first kiosk of 10 of them planned during the next 5 years by High Rise Amenities, Inc., which is a Houston-owned and operated food service company. It's weird because on Saturday I went grocery shopping and I bought some Seattle's Best Coffee, and I got the light brew. The light brew is so dark. I mean, it's supposed to be lightly flavored. It is so dark. But surprisingly, it wasn't bitter. It was actually really good. So I would definitely check out a Seattle's Best Coffee if there was one around here. Maybe you should broadcast live or something. If it's, well, actually, it's a little kiosk. But who knows? Maybe I'll let you broadcast live one day from the Galleria. What do you think?
That sounds good. I understand there's a Seattle's Best Coffee in one of the Borders bookstores up here in the Woodlands. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Seattle's Best Coffee is actually a brand of Starbucks.
You are not mistaken. And you know what? They have a really good store. You know what city it's in?
What?
Seattle.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me. I didn't know.
I had to. Anyway, so that's the first story. That's kind of cool.
Well, you know, while you're talking about coffee shops, you know, it's not a franchise, but it is one of the best case studies I've ever heard regarding the use of social media, and specifically Twitter, which is the coffee grounds in Houston, where anybody that's involved in social media in Houston, I'm sure, has been there, at least heard about them, because they have major tweet-ups and social media meetings and just a fabulous place. And actually, if you're sitting in the coffee shop, you can tweet an instant message, direct message to the coffee grounds and tell them what you want, what table you're sitting at, and they will deliver it to your table.
You know what? My daughter would love that because, and today's her birthday, by the way. She's 14 years old. Happy birthday, Grace. Yahoo!
Anyway, how old is she?
14.
Oh, so she's already a teenager. Okay.
Yeah, the franchise princess. Anyway, you know, she's into this texting, obviously, big time, like every 14-year-old in the country that has a cell phone. So I always I kid her and I say, so, did you talk to your best friend, Abby, today? Oh, yeah, we talked like four times. Really? What does she have to say? Well, I don't know. Well, what do you mean? Well, we texted. We texted. I said, that's not talking, honey.
Well,
so, you know.
Well, you know, there was a funny story in yesterday's Wall Street Journal about texting and today's kids adapting to the new technology, or actually embracing new technology. And they said they sent this one kid to the principal's office because he was constantly texting and not paying attention in class. And the, the kid claimed that, I understand everything that's going on in class, but I'm also texting to stay in touch with my friends. Well, he goes to the principal's office, and the principal is, now picture this, this kid, you know, like 13 years old, sitting across from, you know, probably the big principal's desk, and the principal is chastising him for texting while in class, while the teacher's teaching, and the kid is talking with him and responding and saying, yes, I understand. And the principal looks down, and the kid's hands are going mile a minute. He's actually texting while the principal is chewing his butt out about texting during class.
Oh, man. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, I was distracted enough when I was in elementary school and junior high school. That's all I needed was to be texting. I'd be, I'd probably be on stuck on some goofy franchise radio show with some dude from Texas on the.
There you go. What else is going on in the blog world?
Well, actually, I was going to take this moment to mention something. I'm going to put this under full disclosure over at Twitter. If you follow at Franchise King, I'm going to put a link up for a company that I that I'm helping do some marketing for. There's actually an article. This has to do with franchise marketing, and I wanted to jump in and just talk about this real quick. The name of the company is called FanMinder, and they'll go in and set up your local franchises with some really cool texting, and it's opt-in only, and it's text advertising. So I just wanted to do that before we forgot, because we were talking about texting. Anyway, if you go to at Franchise King over at Twitter, you'll see a link called Full Disclosure. Read the article. It's pretty cool. You can know that 80% of us, that's you and me, Paul, 80% of people that own cell phones are now texting. Now, I know that Paul does not text much, but ever since I got my BlackBerry, my daughter, of course, doesn't call me. She texts me. So, you know, it's just always evolving. Anyway, I wanted to throw that in there. Thank you, Paul, for allowing me to do that. And, you know, I believe in choice.
Well, that's great. I know my wife is gotten really into texting with my two daughters constantly texting her. And a lot of times, and my wife has some challenges in trying to text because she's not quite as fast as my daughter. So sometimes she's got 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 messages piled up before she's finished typing out a message. And I always tell her, pick up the damn phone and call. She says, nope, I got to learn this. And by God, she's working her tail off trying to learn how to be proficient in texting. And she's actually doing pretty good. And that's something that, you know, a lot of business people need to do. You know, don't be phobic about it. You know, jump in, whether it be texting, whether it be tweeting, whether it be blogging or anything like that. Jump into it. It's the best way to learn, and it's the best way to have some fun doing it.
Absolutely. Ow! What the? Oh, man, the phone just fell on my tweet. Ow! The next thing I'd like to talk about, and another disclosure here, Franchise Direct out of Ireland. Franchise Direct and the Franchise King blog do some stuff together monetarily, so I wanted to throw that in there in the Cigaretto La Baba full disclosure mode. But anyway, they do have a nice post that came out yesterday about international franchising, and I'm sure that Paul and I will talk about that once we know more. But they just named the top 100 global franchises, which is pretty interesting. And if you go to franchisedirect.com, if you hit the little button that says blog, you can download it. I think it's in a PDF. And surprise and shock, now I know you're going to be surprised, Paul, you probably looked at this already, but can you guess the two top franchises that are represented in Global Franchise 100. Come on, Paul, guess the one and two.
Well, I'll guess because I have not looked at it, but yeah. I would have to guess, if I was a betting man, I would say McDonald's and Subway.
Yes, and you've just won your bet. Please, door number three behind there is a huge, huge Singer sewing machine to celebrate the first real franchise in franchising. Anyway. Yeah,
I figured you would award me with all-I-can-eat McDonald's in Iceland.
No, you read that article, huh? Isn't that nice? McDonald's just pulled out of Iceland. They were having problems selling the milkshakes. Anyway, McDonald's and Subway, number one and number two in that order. QSR, quick service restaurants, that is definitely an industry that dominates the top 100 global franchises. Why do you think that is, Paul? Why is it that the food franchise sector tends to be dominant, do you think, in pretty much every top 100 or top 500 list?
Well, I think, first of all, it has to do with consumer consumption. They can go to a fast food restaurant or a QSR restaurant multiple times in the week. I mean, how many times can they go to an Embroid Me or a Midas muffler shop? I think they just, have repeat business and try to get them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now a lot of them are branching out into home and office catering, home delivery, online ordering, and everything under the sun. I just think it's the main reason why they're in the top 100, 500, and probably 1,000. There's just, more consumer awareness of it because there's more consumer need and desire there.
Okay, I mean, you're definitely right about one thing. It's certainly easy to frequent a QSR, a quick serve restaurant, because they're literally everywhere. How many McDonald's, individual McDonald's franchises do you think are in metropolitan Houston? And population of Houston is what, about 6 or 7 million?
The Houston area is between 4 and 5 million. And
4 and 5, okay.
I would say there's got to be several hundred at least, when you take into consideration the small satellite locations in the likes of Walmart.
Oh, they have a Walmart?
Oh, down here, all the Walmarts have McDonald's in them.
I had no idea. Wow, that is cool. Hey, we better jump into this franchise marketing because the listeners are definitely geared up for that. So.
Start
off. Yeah.
So there's a couple of things as I was thinking about franchise marketing, because a lot of people don't really understand what franchise marketing is. And it could be, something that benefits the franchisor, such as franchise sales ads, something that could benefit franchisees, which, of course, could be direct mail pieces to draw people into their locations. But, of course, the thing that's often missed are the benefits to the entire franchise system. Joel, I've run several large national franchise companies with several hundred locations. And to this day, I'm often asked, Paul, if you were running a franchise organization today, what would you do differently? And unequivocally, I say I would do everything in my power to drive business and revenue to the franchise locations. It's not that I would expand my franchise development efforts, try to expand the chain, go into other markets, consider international growth, beef up training, beef up operations, and everything else that we know is important to a franchise organization's growth. But to me, what's more important to a franchise organization's survival and growth are to drive leads and customers and revenue to the franchise locations. And basically, I look at that as the circle of franchise life, because by driving leads and revenue into the franchise locations, obviously we'll have happy franchisees. Obviously, if they're doing a good job taking care of the customers, they'll have happy customers. There'll be improved brand awareness, or in the case of young upstart franchise organizations, it'll be creating brand awareness. And while that's happening, with the low-hanging fruit that we often refer to as the customer base, there are potential franchisees out there. And the franchisees becoming happier by more revenue being driven to their locations will be more apt to properly and effectively and satisfactorily validate the franchise concept itself. And ultimately, franchise sales will result, and then the circle starts all over again with franchise locations opening up, driving business to the franchise locations, and so on and so forth. So basically, you know, it comes down to driving leads to franchise locations. And if somebody asked me for my recommendation to the franchise community nowadays, coming out of this economic downturn, and hopefully we are coming out of it, would be to drive business and revenue as much as humanly and economically possible to the franchise locations, because that basically is what's going to enable your franchise organization to grow and prosper and hopefully survive.
But Paul, shouldn't that be done all the time? I mean, why just now?
It really should be done all the time, but you know, too many times I think we as a franchise community lose sight of the bread and butter, which of course is driving business at the unit level and build from the ground up and not dictate from the top down. I know when talking with franchise organizations about social media work, which of course everybody knows we're very heavily involved in now, as important as it is to drive revenue to the franchise locations, the number one question they ask is, will this help me sell more franchises? And even though you might talk and you might discuss different ways that, look, there are multiple benefits to using social media within your franchise marketing strategy, it's for the benefit of the entire system in creating and improving brand awareness, generating leads, and customer awareness into the franchise locations, as well as making them aware of the franchise opportunity that's out there. And of course, ultimately, it's up to the organization to be able to convert those interested parties to qualified leads. And then, of course, create information sharing and a structure of communications at all levels and throughout the franchise organization. But of course, they always want to, the franchise community or the franchisors want to fluff their way through that and say, okay, you know, that's all fine, but my main interest is generating franchise sales. And to me, and I understand that's a way for them to get a significant amount of revenue in that they can throw right to the bottom line as quickly as possible. But it's working backwards. If you go ahead and develop a way of generating and just absolutely driving business to the franchise locations, ultimately you will sell franchises based on that, because there will be brand awareness, there'll be brand love, and you'll be able to capture the low-hanging fruit and the referrals that come with it. But it's got to start from the bottom up and not from the top down.
Well, and you're absolutely right, but let's talk about reality. You know, the former broker, the old brokerage group that I was with, One of the reasons that we didn't get along too well towards the end was because I was very reality-based, and I kind of said what was on my mind. And in this case, I got to tell you what's on my mind. Let's talk about human nature for a second. If you were the president and CEO of a franchise company, I mean, it's human nature to want to get a check across your desk for $35,000 right away, as opposed to getting, you know, a few checks for, you know, $1,300 every month from some franchisees. You know, it's just that it's that instant gratification. And I think that's what drives it a lot. I mean, you and I would certainly like to see a $35,000 check in front of us before we'd like to see a $1,200 check. I mean, it's just human nature. But you're right. It's got to start from the franchisee level, because they can start creating some buzz. And that's what the social media marketing strategies can do, because they can take advantage of that really, really fast. And before you know it, all the people that are following each other on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and everything, you know, the word starts spreading around, and then there are natural organic referrals. And it just, you know, in a perfect world, that's how it should work. But it's not a perfect world. And, you know, if I was a franchisor, I want both, man. I want franchise sales, and I'd want individual franchisee revenue. So it's a tough one.
Well, I think it comes down to one of those situations of what comes first, the cart or the horse. You know, if I was dumped into a franchise organization right now, and, of course, you know, it would be great to sell some quick franchises, because it would obviously improve your cash flow significantly in a quick time. But, you know, let's talk back at the beginning and realize that it takes a concerted effort to perfect the system and get to that point of driving franchise sales. But too often a franchise upstart is undercapitalized. They barely are able to pay for their franchise document development. And so they think the immediate hit is sell a franchise and I could recoup the $25,000 or $30,000 I spent on documents. So I mean, right out of the box, it doesn't work well. And that mindset has to change. Because, you know, and I hate to seem like a broken record, you know, today's consumer is more technologically advanced, educated, cautious, diligent than ever before, and they're going to spend a lot of time researching brands for products and services that they may want to purchase. And to that end, ultimately, they may potentially explore franchise opportunities in the same manner. So we have to realize that we can't just jump out there and just try to sell a franchise, because it's something that we need and it's something that we're looking for instant gratification. On top of the fact, look at how much harder it is to sell franchises in that environment, and how relatively easy it would be selling franchises in an environment with 100% happy franchisees, with profitable franchisees, with franchisees validating the concept. I mean, it would almost get to the point of just being able to pick and choose. And I think that's the correct terminology, Joel. Pick and choose the qualified franchisees, because ultimately, if franchise organizations are selling franchises just out of need and the desire to do so for the instant gratification, then what's going to happen is you're probably going to be selling to franchisees that are not the most qualified, that are probably going to fail and probably cause more problems in and around your system and at the corporate office for years to come. And the only ones that will benefit will be the legal teams on both sides.
Yeah, and they usually benefit either way. It's kind of like talk radio. You know, some of the big guys like Rush. You know, whether or not the Democrats win or lose, or the Republicans win or lose, he always has a job, because he can either slam the Democrats, or you know, pump up things for the Republicans. So I mean, but it's the same thing, man. You know, it's amazing.
Absolutely. You know, we talk about franchise marketing, and we know how much is going online. And I want to emphasize this, because I've had a few people of late try to throw me under the bus and put words in my mouth. You know, all of this online marketing is great. It is essential, but it needs to be a component of your overall marketing strategy and of your overall marketing methods and processes. It is not in lieu of. And further, the people out there that think that by jumping into social media, you're doing so strictly because it's cheap or at no cost and it's free, couldn't be further from the truth, okay? It is not. It is cost effective, but it still requires a dedication of time, of money, and of resources in regards to human resources to make it happen. So, but it is something that needs to be addressed. You need to jump into it with both feet, and you need to get off your butt and make it happen. Now, with all that being said, you know, social media is a good way of driving traffic. I mean, everybody says it's the new SEO. It really helps in search engine optimization. But it should be something, again, that should be done in conjunction with everything else. Now, we all know about, you know, the big three, you know, the LinkedIn, the Facebook, the Twitters. And we know how that's a very strong part of the social media program. And by the way, Google is pulling back on a $900 million deal with MySpace, because MySpace hits are going down very quickly as Facebook supplanted them as the number one social media site. So a word to the wise and a cautious word is, be careful as you're doing stuff on MySpace, and you really shouldn't be doing stuff on MySpace unless you're really trying to attract a very young audience. But looking at the big three, you know, put that aside, and I know, Joel, this is something that you're passionate about and something that you're exceptionally good at, and there are other ways of tapping into social media as part of franchise marketing, which, of course, is blogging and article marketing. Would you care to expound upon that a little bit?
Sure, sure. Within the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be really, really starting to focus my efforts towards helping franchisors get to market via article marketing. And the site is not live yet, but I will disclose the link when it is. And it's just going to be a nice, newsy-looking site, and it's going to contain articles. And the franchisors are going to be able to provide some of the content. I'll provide the rest. And I think it's going to be really cool. It's not going to look like advertising, as it shouldn't. And it's going to be informational in nature. Because remember, how are potential prospective franchise owners looking for opportunities? You know they're going online most of the time, but they're not looking to get blasted with sales, tile ads and stuff, man. Franchisors, please, if I may be blunt, wake up. It's not interruption marketing anymore. You can't do that, okay? It's got to be marketing by attraction and virally, and by using people to help you market that actually understand it, as opposed to hiring a marketing company that's just learning about it. That's all I'll say about that. But, yeah, I'm going to be doing some article marketing. I do it on the Franchise King blog already, and you'll get exposure there also. But I'll have more details in the next couple of weeks. I'm just trying to get things set up, but article marketing needs to be part of a social media strategy. There's a lot of components, and if you go to franchisesocialmarketing.com, Paul and I have put together a nice little site, and Paul's 90 days to franchise social media marketing plan is on there. So if you want some help and you want to do this right, Paul is the strategic one of the two of us. He will get things rocking and rolling, and I'll help spread it around. So that's what we're really, really good at, and there's plenty of folks you can talk to back it up. So, you know, Paul, I have a question for you. And first of all, statement. When I was in automobile franchising, I helped choose some of the advertising for some of the franchisees, the franchises that I helped manage. And, you know, back in the day, in the mid and late 90s, it was newspapers. We had what was called remote broadcast, where radio stations, local radio DJs and talk show hosts would come into the automobile franchise dealerships and broadcast on a Saturday for a couple hours, and it created a lot of buzz. I'm curious, what kind of stuff did you do in marketing when you were a franchisee and when you were at corporate? And what worked? And how are you able to help maybe some franchisees and some franchisors who are still kind of lost in this social media stuff? What did you do that worked back in the day before all this internet?
As I was a franchisee and leaving the corporate side, you know, things were changing with the internet, and it was very rough waters to put your feet into, because everybody made it seem so technologically advanced that you were scared to death to enter into it because you associated it with. But I've always been a believer of thinking outside the box and using what I often refer to as get off your ass marketing. One thing that I did for a couple of franchisees was put together a series of speaking engagements in their local market. I might have mentioned this before. I did it through a PR firm that I was working with. And I showed them that you didn't need to be a very polished public speaker. It was just more about information and content, which, wow, it really seems like that coincides with the message that we bring about today with social media. It's more about content and sharing the message than it is about being the perfect writer. And what I did was I arranged a couple of speaking events. One of them was to the local chapter of the AARP, our great retired people. And I'll tell you, it was like, and we talked about car maintenance, and it was like being in a sitcom or being in an improv, and there were more hecklers in the crowd than you could shake a stick at. It was a tough group. And then the next night, which happened to be my anniversary, I was told at the last minute that I would be speaking to a group of moms of preschool children. And I looked at my PR guy and I said, are you kidding me? I'm going to talk about car maintenance to moms of preschool children. He said, look, it was the best I could do at last minute. You'll talk for 45 minutes, 15 minutes of, you know, Q&A, and you'll be out of there in an hour. There'll probably be 30 or 40 people there. So I convinced my wife that we had to stop and do this before I took her out for an anniversary dinner, and she came with me. Joel had started at 7 o'clock at night. The room had well over 120 moms of preschool children there with pens and yellow legal pads in tote, and I was there for over 4.5 hours talking about car maintenance and the amount of leads that came into the two franchise locations that this was centered around over the next 4 weeks was phenomenal. These women took copious notes. They got their husbands involved. The husbands were calling up, I need to have my car checked. They wanted to learn. They wanted to be educated. And ultimately, you didn't have to put forth a very aggressive sales effort, because as they educated themselves, they became real quick to accept being in a buyer's mode because we had developed that nice big tripod, which I often say things are always built on a tripod of need, value, and trust. They understood the need, the center presented the value, and of course by sharing information and not being static and pounding them with information. By sharing the information, it developed trust. And that was one way. And then the second way we did it was to think outside the box on some of the direct mail that was occurring. And I did this when I was a multi-unit franchisee. And I got tired of dealing with the typical mundane BS direct mail ads from the likes of Advo and Valpak and the Pocketbook and GoodSense and all of those companies. And right away they wanted to show you an ad with a mechanic, you know, with his head under the hood or with the car up on a lift. And I said, why does it have to be that way? And so with Valpak, I did a four-color coupon campaign, and on one side of the, looking at the front of the coupon on the left side, I had my offer, which was, a 10% off or something like that. On the right side was for a free checkup, and in the middle, I did a series of pictures. And the first one was a royal flush hand of cards, ace through ten of spades, and the caption was, "Don't gamble on transmission repair." Mm-hmm. And we got some people in. We found, of course, that women were the ones that mostly looked at the coupons, and I guess it caught their attention. Well, the next one we did was this huge, massive diamond ring in the middle. Now, keep in mind, this is an automotive coupon. It's got this big diamond ring, and it said, "Let's start a long-term relationship." Woman loved it. The next one, the woman got a kick out of, which was a whole picture of a whole bunch of rotten teeth. And it said, "Automotive repair doesn't have to be a kick in the teeth, as long as you maintain." And people loved that. And then the next one was a sleeping baby's face. And it said, "Let us worry about your car repair so you can sleep like a baby." And the campaign did wonders because we were thinking outside the box. But the coup de grace, the piece de resistance, I think as the French would say it, was the last coupon we did in the campaign, which was a picture of a football, a baseball, a soccer ball, a tennis ball, billiards balls, ping pong balls, etc. And the headline said, "You have to have a lot of balls to take your car to a different place."
Ooh, that's cool.
They loved it. They loved it. The consumers loved it because it broke the ice. It thought outside the box. It was stuff they could relate to. They liked the message. They liked the content. They liked the sharing of information, and it did wonders.
That is cool. That is cool stuff. There's got to be a way for you and I, and mostly you, when you start some social media programs for franchisors, to add some of that really cool stuff, and that would make it more viral.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. You know, one of the things, you know, and as we're evolving through this, basically, we're still at an entry into social media because social media keeps adding new technology and new tools and new methods along the way, which is why I say, hey, if you're not already in it, you better get in it now because we're having a hard time keeping up and we're in it 20 hours a day. But I've done is because I've had a lot of these franchise organizations being so hell-bent that the only thing they care about is franchise sales, is that they're not buying into it. They're not buying into the social media. They're just looking at paying for something and hopefully the leads will come. And I've changed a little bit of direction here late, which, as you referred to, our 90-day plan. And basically, the 90-day plan and where all my focus is going to be more on the educational side, Joel. It's going to be working with them to get them to do it because that's going to be the only way they're going to understand the value. And I put it together that in a 13-week period, They'll get daily emails. They'll get weekly telephone status reports, biweekly educational seminar webinars that'll teach them on the different aspects of social media that they're using. It'll include online brand audits and understand search results and where their placement can improve online, as well as who might also be attacking their brand or attaching themselves to their brand, or worse yet, infringing upon their brand. And it's also going to include the establishment and development of a long-term social media program that they could do on their own. But I think the whole wave has to be towards educating them in how to do it, and then they can decide how much they're going to do in-house, and then, of course, be able to outsource out to some experts, whether it be to develop a blog or to develop some of their article marketing or to develop some videos or something like that. But when it comes down to the basic message and the basic interaction online, and, of course, I'm referring to most of the action on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, they're going to have to be transparent. They're going to have to be involved themselves. It's got to be their message.
I agree. If it was only as easy, as saying, okay, Paul, just set us up, you know, work with us for a couple weeks, and, you know, I'm sure we'll get some leads and some prospects, and, you know, we'll pay a big money for that. It's not that easy.
No,
you know that. You've been doing this.
Yeah, they think it's a magic wand, you know, and it's not. It takes, even if you decide to have somebody do your tweeting and posting on Facebook, it's only one person. It still takes the interaction within your franchise group, within your corporate office, of getting people involved. You know, I refer back to franchise development via social media, the white paper that I put out not too long ago. And everybody wants to go down to the bottom line and say, oh, well, you know, great, social media can generate franchise sales. Well, you know, there's a lot of bits and pieces to the puzzle that are in there, which, of course, is building the virtual room, getting a lot of people involved, making sure there's interaction of franchisees, franchise candidates, franchise employees, franchise executives, suppliers, vendors, the founder, and everyone involved. That's what it's going to take, not just one person putting out a message. It takes a complete interaction of the entire organization and everybody buying into it. Well, you know, going back to what we started out with, and how do you get your franchise base, which of course is in sheer numbers considerably larger amount of people than you have at the corporate office, then so you tap that franchisee base and their employees. Well, the best way to do that, as we started out, was drive business into the franchise centers, get your franchisees happy, make sure they understand the concept so they buy into it, so they're there to help validate it. There's too many times a franchise candidate talks to a franchisee, and the first question they ask is, would you do this again? And I'm sad to say that I bet 70% of them say, hell no.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. Do you personally miss some of the fun ways of marketing from years past?
I've always been one to think outside the box. I just think it's what works. I also believe that you have to think outside the box. Whether you're a franchisor or a franchisee, getting off your ass and looking for opportunities and creating opportunities that are totally against the grain. Especially the franchise businesses that are not what I refer to as an ROI franchise, which of course are a lot of the big QSR franchises, where you're buying a franchise and you're looking more at your return on investment and multiple locations, and it's a whole different scenario. The other side of the coin are the franchises where the franchisee is looking to make a living and replace his job as the key component. And I think those need to think outside the box more than ever and realize no matter how good your system is, how good that franchise brand is, you could always improve. You know, if your break even is 12 grand a week and you're doing 15 grand a week, why not look for 20 grand a week? Why not look for 25,000 a week? Think outside the box. And that's what I miss. I do miss getting out there, talking with people, thinking outside the box, and creating new ways of generating business.
Yeah, but that's what you're doing, man.
Well, I am, but I'm doing it more on a quote-unquote quiet way because I'm online a lot, and often I don't see the results quite like I would like because I'm not out there in the field to realize it. And quite frankly, Joe, a lot of people will see the results and want to go ahead and give credit to other things or, you know, say, oh, well, you know, the economy turned around. Oh, I did this. Oh, this was occurring and stuff, and not want to believe in it because ultimately they're still scared and phobic about social media.
Yeah, they I mean, they're phobic about it. You know, there are so many articles being written right now about how social media is changing the way things are done, how people's mindsets are finally starting to change. But it's like anything that's fairly new. The only difference is this time around, it spreads so fast that unless you live in a bubble or you just don't even have an internet connection, you've had to have heard about social media and what it does. I mean, it's a small segment of total marketing dollars, but it's getting bigger and bigger, and it's interesting to watch some of the PR companies get involved in it, and the smart ones are doing it. They're not just suggesting it, but they have blogs, and they have Facebook fan pages, and they're Twittering all the time, tweeting all the time. Boy, I do this so much, I shouldn't blow that. So, you know, it's just really interesting to watch. I still think that it's going to be called something else within a year or two. I don't think it's going to be called social media marketing. I don't know what it's going to be called, but the wording is going to change because things just do, as you know, and they change fast now.
Well, you know, I think you're right because going into the beginning of last year, it was all referred to as the phenom, you know, Web 2.0. Then
right.
It kind of evolved into social networking.
Right.
And now it's really evolved into social media, and I think you're right. I think it's going to continue to evolve. And all the components that that it's been described as before will be part of the overall picture. Now, you brought up a good thing about PR because there was a point I wanted to make when you were talking about article marketing because you talked about it being informative. And I think that's the key that's different between what you're describing as article marketing and what the public relations firms have referred to as press releases in the past. There is a distinct difference with a press release just pounding you with information. It made an announcement and it told you about the company and what they were talking about. Where article marketing is a little bit more, is a lot more informative and allows the reader to be able to make or work towards making an informed decision in his buying process.
Totally true. Totally true. I don't know. Let me ask you, Paul, when is the last time you read a press release?
I happened to read one earlier today but it wasn't in the paper or anything like that. It was more online because there's a lot of online services that people are tapping into. And that's
right.
A part of social media, provided it's written correctly and it has links and everything works towards the SEO objectives and the social media objectives. But the problem is, and this is really apparent, is that without an overall strategy of knowing who you want to target, where their targets are, and why you want to target them, just throwing something out there oftentimes misses the mark completely. And it doesn't take advantage of the technology that's there in order to improve upon it, because they think, I can go to an online web service, an online PR service, I could punch in a free press release and then publish it, and not thinking that there are different ways to make that more effective and efficient and, of course, online, quote-unquote, loud for everybody to hear and see.
Right, right.
You know, one of the things that I think is, you know, as you mentioned earlier, that there's a lot of articles now on social media out there. And I think where the line is drawn, but it's a very cloudy line right now, is that a lot of people, you have the users, you have the people that haven't gotten involved in social media, or even the ones that are involved in social media, and they want to use it, but a lot of the information that's coming out right now are for the people like ourselves that want to take it and be able to learn from it to be able to use with their clients. And online, there is no dissemination between the two. There is no separation between the two. So all of a sudden, you have somebody that's trying to tip their toe into the water of social media reading an article about Twitter lists. And they say, whoa, wait, that's too complicated. What's Twitter lists? Oh, and they have Twitter tools like TweetDeck, and oh my God, and there's TweetGrader, and there's this. I don't want to deal with that. But you see, a lot of that is for the more advanced person, as opposed to the people just starting out or that have been in there a little bit. And I think without that separation, and there is no way of making that separation, but without that separation, it causes a lot of people to be scared, frightened, and phobic. And I think what we need to do as consultants and coaches in social media is remember to talk in very simplistic and fundamental ways so that they're willing to take that first step. And I know, like the article that I put out yesterday, which I wrote, you know, 6 months ago, effectively using LinkedIn, takes it down to that simplistic form. And it circles around participation, and patience. It can't be any simpler than that. And I think we really need to pound that message of simplicity. Even with all this high-tech, advanced stuff that's going on, the primary message needs to be simplistic. Get out there, get it done, be involved in it, participate, you know, personalize it, be transparent, and, of course, be patient that it's going to take some time to build up your presence online.
That is so true. Take your time. Really, you know what? The stuff will get spread around organically, and the folks that are really fearful about all the new applications, you know, that are coming out every day, you know what? Don't worry about them. We'll worry about them. Just let folks like us help you get the word out. Things will just work out. That's all I can tell you. Things will just work out.
You know, I think that's part of the problem with mobile marketing. I think mobile marketing is a fabulous tool. And used effectively, it really can work quite well, especially for the QSR franchises. But when you start looking at the lower level of QSR franchises, and I don't mean this in the way of value or opinion or anything, but I'm talking about the ones that are below that ROI line and the franchisee is basically looking to make a living. stuff like mobile marketing just blows them away. And of course, unfortunately, the path of least resistance is to stick the head in the sand and let that go on over them while they think taking care of the business is the thing to do. And we need to get down to the simplistic forms in educating. And again, this comes back to, you know, kind of some of my change in direction is educating people into doing it, let them embrace it, and let them learn along the way, every step of the way. I think it's a big reason why video isn't as popular as it should be, because of some complexity and of dealing with webcams and dealing with handhelds and then embedding the code and doing this, that, and the other thing. And I think that's a reason why video is not taken off as well as it should, because the ones that are using it and using it effectively are really seeing some fabulous results. But again, Joe, like you said, social media is probably going to change the way we know it, and they're going to refer to it as something else down the road. And stuff as advanced as video technology may seem right now is probably nothing compared to what's in the future. I think it's very similar to looking at reel-to-reel tape and looking at MP3 technology. That's how drastic things are going to change.
Wait a second. Speaking of changing, the birthday girl is here doing some speed texting. We were just talking about text messages. Grace, are you getting text messages yet, huh?
Yes.
Are you really? Are you getting them from pizza places and stuff?
Yeah.
Are you really starting to? I mean, you know, the 14-year-olds of the world are going to start getting this marketing. What kind of franchise organization can target them right now and get some cash, you know? I mean,
right,
like,
absolutely. And I'm sure she's even using, I'm sure she's even using I-9 technology to make her texting go even quicker.
Are you using I-9 technology to make your texting go faster?
I-9, but
T-9. T-9, I'm sorry, T-9. Yeah, that's
thank
how
you,
little
Grace.
I know.
She's not using it because she has a keyboard. That's why she's so fast. I'm telling you, it's not
like okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, all the technology is just, and, you know, just like mentioning that, you know, T9, a lot of people won't start texting now because, oh, my God, not only do I have to learn about texting, but then I got to learn about this T9. I mean, I text with the best of them, and I don't use the T9 technology.
Well, you know, she just corrected you like she corrects me all the time, Mandy. You know, well, you have a girl, so you know. But I-9, oh, boy. Who can keep up with it?
I agree. Well, Joel, we are running out of time. We blew through this hour. Anyway.
People were hoping we would still blow through it. Go ahead.
Yes. To all our listeners, we thank you for your patronage. We thank you for your for listening to us banter a lot on a weekly basis. Visit the Franchise King blog at thefranchiseKingblog.com and look at some of Joel's stuff and, of course, mine at fmdpro.com. I know we've been kicking up the activity on LinkedIn. Of course, we're both on Facebook and Twitter. And look for our new site for the Franchise Today Show coming up in the upcoming weeks. So, goodbye from Houston. Joel, take care of yourself, and I'll talk to you soon.
See you from Cleveland. Take care, Houston. See ya.